Hi, I'm Chase Bunker, but you're not here for me. You're here for my guest. He is a popular chef and host on the Food Network. You've seen him on such popular shows as Good Eats, Cutthroat Kitchen, and Iron Chef America. You can see him at the Florida Theater on April 22nd for An Evening with Alton Brown. Tickets on sale now. Welcome back, Alton Brown. Alton, how are you?
Good. It's actually an evening of Alton Brown, not an evening with.
Oh.
I did that on purpose because I thought it sounded more interesting.
Ooh, okay. So my research, one, horrible, and two, an evening of Alton Brown.
An evening of Alton Brown. Yeah.
So actually,
yeah, it means something different. I don't know what it means exactly, but it's different.
So first off, let's talk about this. My wife and I went to your show last year. It was absolutely fantastic. What's the difference between the show last year and the show that's coming up in April?
So this is Jacksonville's one of the only theaters that's getting this show that got the last show as well, because they're very different. This show that I'm doing now, I realized that I really wanted to be able to play, besides some favorite theaters, I also wanted to be able to play much smaller theaters and have a more intimate show with smaller crowds. And that's what An Evening of Alton Brown is really about. There's a lot more talking. There's a fair amount of audience interaction and whatnot. And there are a couple of very large, strange culinary demonstrations, but not like the 27-foot-long steam-powered hot dog machine that I brought the last time I was there. So I would call this is kind of like the unplugged version of me.
So the Wiener Wonder is not going to be there this year?
It won't be the Wiener Wonder. The Wiener Wonder, it doesn't even barely exist anymore. It barely survived the 65 dates that we played on the road in the last tour.
Is that the biggest contraption that you've brought on your big shows? Is that like the biggest machine that you brought?
Yes, and definitely the most complex. We actually had a popcorn maker that was maybe a little bigger in just sheer tonnage, but nothing that was as complex. The number of moving parts for the Wiener Wonder were pretty significant, not to mention the power that it was mostly powered by steam, which causes issues everywhere it goes, water being rather corrosive stuff.
For those who missed out on his show last year, first off, you missed out on a great show. The Wiener Wonder is like, it was this massive contraption to mix one part I Love Lucy chocolate scene and one part Double Dare physical challenge. I feel like that's the best way to describe it.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I wish I'd had you around for PR at the time.
Well, I mean, if you are hiring, let me know. I realize also we don't really make a lot of chef shows anymore. Like, it's all being replaced with like cooking shorts from like a mother of two from Wisconsin just saying, "My kids know it's a big day when I make my chili con cheesecake." Like, do you get frustrated with what that's become, or do you kind of like welcome this evolution of cooking shows in a way?
Well, I left Food Network 5 years ago, specifically because I really thought that the sea change of going over to platforms like YouTube would happen, which is where my new stuff is all. My show, Alton Brown Cooks Food, on YouTube, which has been going on since, gosh, I guess November. And the reason that I welcome it is complete creative freedom, and you get to own what you do. You know, and when you work for large networks, there's a lot of managerial oversight. There's a lot of people telling you what you can do and what you can't do. Somebody else is making the sponsorship deals. So I welcome it. I mean, to be honest, I think that cooking TV shows have gone the way of the dinosaur. I mean, there are still a few big competition shows, but I don't really think that the form has got much future on television.
What's the difference?
Golden age is certainly past.
Yeah. What's the biggest difference between you being on Food Network and this new series, Alton Brown Cooks Food, on YouTube?
Well, a lot more people are watching the new one than they did the old one. But that's because a lot more people are on YouTube. The other thing is that I don't have to worry about anyone but me. You know, there is no creative oversight. There's no editorial oversight. I do what I want, when I want. And that's kind of like really nice, because you just can't get that on television.
What are some of your biggest pet peeves when it comes to cooking?
You know, I think that one of my biggest pet peeves about cooking, and this is very much was kind of done to us by cooking shows, is that cooking has become so performative. You know, you used to cook for people. They came over, you cooked, you know, you ate. And the food and the conversation were the most important thing. But food shows, especially competitive food shows, have kind of taught us to watch it. It's a performance. And that really stresses a lot of people out, you know, including me. I don't like to have people over to my house and just have them stare at me cook. And so I think that the performative nature of cooking has become a real pet peeve. And hopefully that's something that's temporary, but it's certainly an issue as of this moment.
I mean, I would also love to just stare at you and watch you cook. If you're also hiring for a professional person to just stare at you and watch you cook, I'm also available for that as well.
Well, comforting to know that you're available. Don't wait for the phone to ring, because my dogs are the only things that I want to have staring at me when I cook, and they can't help it. You know, they smell it. They got to come in. But, you know, I think that we need to stop treating every cook as though they're there to perform for us, you know, because that's not really what cooking and food is about.
Is there a particular dish that you struggle with and you just go, man, I wish I could just cook this a little bit better. I still haven't mastered this yet.
You know, every time I make, and I only do this maybe twice a year, I will try to make beef Wellington. And I can make beef Wellington, and it looks like beef Wellington, and it is beef Wellington, and it is nowhere as like wonderful as it ought to be. I still just don't have it. I just don't have beef Wellington down. And so every time I do it, it's kind of like, this was nowhere worth the fuss and the labor that I put into it. But I'll get it one day. I'm not going to give up.
Speaking of like semi-annual, you always are in charge of like cooking the turkey come Thanksgiving, or do you just pawn that off on somebody else? Or when it comes to Thanksgiving, everybody automatically assumes, oh, don't worry, Alton's got it all taken care of.
I do the turkey religiously, but it's all I do. So I do that, and then everybody has to bring something else. Everybody else has to do the rest. That's the ante up, so to speak, for me doing the turkey. You know, the only downside of that is it means I can't screw up the turkey. And I haven't screwed up the turkey for a while. So I do the turkey, and then that's it. And then everybody else has to kind of bring offerings of whatever, you know, potato salad, green bean casserole, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I do the turkey. That's all.
How do you cook your turkey?
You know, I have a couple of different methods, all of which I did on Good Eats. More often than not, I do a spatchcock bird, meaning I take a Sawzall and I cut out its backbone. I flatten it out like a giant meaty butterfly. And then I put a dry cure on it of salt, pepper, and spices and whatnot, and leave it to age uncovered in the refrigerator for about 3 days. And then I roast that sucker. And that way the cooking takes 45 minutes tops, which is fine by me.
Ooh, that sounds good. Oh, I might try that if my family actually trusts me with the turkey. I'm not at that culinary level yet where my family trusts me on that.
You know, the only thing that's required to handle a turkey is confidence. You could fake it.
That is true. I do work in broadcasting where you'd have to at least fake your confidence.
There you go.
Yeah. So because you are a chef and you do a lot of cooking, does that mean you're kind of like anti-fast food? Like you never do that? Or there's still some days where you're just like, I really just want a McDonald's cheeseburger.
I don't crave that. I have food cravings. But when I crave something of that ilk, like say, you know, I used to live in Chicago and I really loved White Castle sliders, you know, but we don't have that around here. So I make them. And I've got a really good recipe for making them, and I enjoy making them. So no, I don't think I've been any place with a drive-through in, I don't know, a decade. And it's not because I'm a snob. I just don't want it. I also worked at McDonald's when I was a kid, and I just can't take that smell, I don't think, ever again, the inside of a McDonald's kitchen. So it's just not my thing.
Yeah, that's understandable, especially when you work at McDonald's. Like, that's just, imagine working.
Now,
like,
when I'm out west, I will still grab an In-N-Out burger. That I will do.
Okay. I think I've only had like In-N-Out like once in my life, and I don't remember how good it was, but I just remember like post that, everyone's like, oh, it's the best burger. I'm like, I don't remember it being that life-changing, but like, I feel like that's,
It's not. I don't think that it's that best. I just have associations with it because I used to live out there that I like. So to me, you know, food is not always about what is the most delicious. I know a lot of people that love food that doesn't taste that good. You know, and I know at least 70 barbecue spots in the southern United States that people adore where the barbecue is not actually very good. It's not always about what's good. It's about what's significant, what is, you know, what your memory is tied into. Taste and flavor is complicated, and it's not always about the best.
You and I talked last year about drinking and essentially like a lot of mixology stuff. You talked about vermouth and you're a vermouth guy. I had my former homeowner, I bought this house from a guy and he sent me a text and said, by the way, there is a crib up in the attic and there's also a bottle of vermouth. Is that bottle still good?
Had it ever been opened?
Yes.
If it's been opened, no. No, vermouth goes fast, and dry vermouths go especially fast, which is why I keep them refrigerated. Vermouth's got about, once the bottle's been opened, it's got about 2 months.
Oh, wow. I didn't know
that
was that quick.
Unless it's refrigerated. Yeah, vermouth goes fast. Sweet ones will sometimes make it a little longer because they're kind of fortified by the sweetness, by the sugar. I shouldn't have said fortified. That means added liquor. Sometimes they do, but not usually. They're aromatized wines. So think of it as just a bottle of wine. Would you drink a bottle of wine that's been open and left someplace, much less in a crib, which is creepy as hell, by the way, for like years? I mean, why the hell was there ever, you know, a bottle of vermouth in a crib? That's just the image. I don't like that. A little baby in there sucking on a vermouth bottle. I don't like it. But no. That should be discarded immediately.
It's good to know. I'll make sure to discard the vermouth and I'll make sure that the crib is still intact. So what would you recommend?
Get rid of the crib too. I would get rid of the crib as well. I think it's a bad image to have up in the attic.
It looks like a nice crib. It looks like it's still intact. It looks like it's not possessed or anything.
Okay.
would you recommend that with like all liquors, like one of those like cream based ones, like the Eggo in a jar, like the Eggo moonshine stuff, or like after a certain while, you just like, all right, throw that out like after a month or two, even in the fridge?
You know, spirits, you know, things that are like 40% alcohol by volume, they'll last a long time. They're incredibly stable as long as they're sealed, you know? And so I don't think of spirits in the same way. I've got a bottle of bourbon that's not opened, hasn't been opened yet, but it was made in 1908. And about a sixth of the bottle is actually evaporated out through and around the cork. I'm still going to drink that. You can bet that I am still going to drink that. And I don't know when. I keep saving it. I keep saying something really special has to happen. But when you get to be my age, you know, I could drop dead any minute. So I may crack that open tonight.
All right, we'll crack that open tonight. Or when you come to Jacksonville, we'll have a nice drink together. How about that? That sounds pretty decent. Like a not terrible
idea.
No,
I'm going to drink it all by myself. I'm going to drink that alone. I'm not going to share it with anybody.
Worth a shot. Before I let you go, will we get another season of Iron Chef Quest for an Iron Legend?
Well, if you do, it probably won't have me in it. Nobody's called me about it.
It's not the same without you.
But I've heard rumors that the Food Network might make Iron Chef again. But again, it'll be with someone else. I won't be. I did my time.
It's not the same, though. I mean, granted, I know we're kind of talking about...
It might be better.
I guess we've always said that about Doctor Who, you know, actors, like, eventually. Like, eventually cater. All right. You can see him at the Florida Theater on April 22nd for an evening of Alton Brown. Tickets on sale now. YouTube.com/Alton Brown for Alton Brown Cooks Food. Go check out his YouTube show. Alton Brown, thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you for having me. It's nice to talk to you again. And go get that crib out of your house, would you?
All right. I will.